Are you or a loved one suffering from debilitating confusion about Wisconsin's lame duck lawsuits?
Have appeals and injunctions left you feeling rattled?
You may have a case of news whiplash.
The WPR Politics Podcast is here to get you the information you need.
We have 2 years of experience helping you understand state politics.
When you're lost in stories about federal lawsuit withdrawals and rescinded appointments, you need a podcast that gets you results.
So turn up the volume and listen now.
This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, let's talk about legal news whiplash. All right, so we have a lot to talk about. Do we want to just jump right into the legal whiplash that's been going on this week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do we start at the beginning or the end? Or I mean, there are so many things that happened this week, John.
I guess we should say that before the beginning of the beginning, Sean Johnson is off this week.
He is.
But we will do our best to help you recover from the legal news whiplash of the week. So, yeah, let's just start from the beginning.
All right. So, oh, what is the beginning, though? Such a philosophical question. I would say the beginning of the whiplash of this week was a decision coming down in the second of two state lawsuits challenging the lame duck session. This is the lawsuit that was brought by a coalition of union groups.
Mm-hmm.
And a Dane County judge ruled this week that some, but not all, of the lame duck laws violated the state constitution, particularly the separation of powers guarantee. So that decision came just a few days after the previous...
Maybe before the beginning that what you guys talked about last week was that there was the first of two rulings in state court that invalidated the GOP legislature's lame duck laws.
Yeah, the whole session was thrown out last Friday, I think it was, or Thursday.
I don't remember. I was off.
It was late last week. So, and that basically wiped out the entire lame duck session. It was a procedural argument that said lawmakers didn't have the authority to call the lame duck in the first place. And so everything that they did, all the laws they passed, all the appointments they confirmed needed to be thrown out. And Republican lawmakers said, well, we're going to appeal this decision. Consider that that warning sort of like what do you call that? Just like a it's the fish thing again. I always want to talk about
thing.
The foretelling fish. You know how I talk about like the birds that are foreshadowing of the future. It's not a red herring. It's like a thing. It's like a harbinger. And then Sean said the harbinger's a fish. Anyway, Republican lawmakers said they were going to appeal that ruling. And that appeal is kind of what created a lot of the whiplash this week. But yes, I'm getting ahead of myself. That's what happened last week.
Okay, so then beginning at the beginning again, which we mentioned a little bit, there was another ruling this week that in the lawsuit brought by union groups that agreed with the outcome essentially of the other lawsuit, at least invalidating some of the lame duck laws. So now we have two separate lawsuits with two judges saying all or some of those lame duck laws are not cool. They don't stand.
Right. So for a brief period of time, we had these two different Dane County court decisions that struck down all or some of the lame duck laws. And when the second decision came down, people were like, oh, well, you know, there is that appeal pending with a higher court in the first case. But even if that...
they had harbinged that.
Right. They had, thrown out the fish and the bird and they'd harbinged all of it. And so we knew that the potential for that first ruling being put on hold was there, depending on what happened with this appeal. Because essentially when you file an appeal, you can say, I want to appeal this ruling and I also want you, higher court, to put a hold on the lower court's decision while you are deciding this case. Because we think that these laws should go back on the books. Because we're confident that you're going to see things our way. And why have these things off the books if you're just going to go ahead and decide that a couple weeks, months, whatever down the road? So we knew that Republican lawmakers had asked for that. We knew that it was coming from the District 3 Court of Appeals at some point. But we did get
a decision, not necessarily what it was going to be. I mean, right. Republicans were confident it would go that way, but we knew the decision was going to come down.
Right. We knew that they were going to decide whether or not they were going to stay that temporary injunction from the lower court. So we had these two decisions. They were kind of overlapping. It was sort of like a, I don't know.
Layer cake?
Yeah. I was thinking of like duct tape over other tape or something, but it was sort of like there was an extra insurance policy for people that didn't like these things done during the lame duck. Like, okay, well, if the first lawsuit gets, if that first ruling gets stayed, we still have this extra kind of insurance policy of this other lawsuit that's saying you can't enforce some of these other things. So that's basically what happened this week is we got the District 3 ruling, the appellate court ruling, granting that stay that Republicans mm-hmm. wanted.
In the first lawsuit.
So kind of one layer of that tape got ripped off mm-hmm. and left just the ruling from the second state lawsuit, that second Dane County ruling, still standing.
All right. So then that means that at least where we're sitting now, some of the lame duck laws are still invalidated mm-hmm. thanks to that second state court decision?
Yeah. So I think the biggest one is the governor's limitation on not being able to withdraw from federal lawsuits. So the governor very quickly after the first decision was made ordered the attorney general to take Wisconsin out of that multi-state lawsuit challenging the Affordable Care Act. That power still stands. That was something that was returned to him by the first ruling and the second ruling. Some things that the second ruling didn't strike down in terms of, you know, the lame duck laws that they struck down. There's all that stuff to do with federal waivers.
Mm-hmm.
And the Walker administration applied for a number of waivers to put new state laws in place. Things like drug testing and work requirements for Medicaid and food stamps. The Governor Evers' ability to sort of change those laws, change those waivers was limited in the lame duck. The second decision didn't agree with plaintiff's argument in that regard. So those lame duck laws still stand according to the second ruling. So he can't make any changes to do with those things. He's already done the lawsuit thing. He's cool with that. And then kind of the other big thing that everybody's talking about are these 82 appointments.
Yep. You hear people walking down the street. They're like, did you hear about the 82 appointments?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who's going to fill these positions? They were filled by Governor Walker, but then they were vacated by Governor Evers. And then some of them were reappointed and some of them are just walking their dogs. You know, it's a hot topic of conversation.
It's all you hear. It's all I hear about, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm sure that's the case for everyone out there. Yeah, so I think this is one of the more complicated things in terms of like how all these lawsuits are interacting and how people are interpreting the court's rulings. So this appointment thing started way back with the first Dane County decision that struck down the entire lame duck. And that said very clearly all of the laws passed, all of the appointments made, appointments confirmed, those are invalidated. So what Governor Evers did at that point was officially rescinded all of those 82 Walker appointments. And these are for a lot of kind of state boards that most people probably haven't heard of, a lot of professional licensing boards, things like that. But there are a couple big appointments. One is to the UW System Board of Regents, and one is to the Public Service Commission, which regulates public utilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so when those appointments were rescinded, Republican lawmakers were really upset because they said, hey, we have this appeal pending. We're asking for this stay. If the District 3 court gives us this stay, all of these appointments that you rescinded are going to go back into effect.
So these people who are in these positions, they're kind of stuck in a position of not knowing whether or not they have those jobs.
Right, because Republican lawmakers say they do have the jobs again because of the stay. But Governor Evers and his office say that they don't, or
no,
that
they
did, like, that they didn't. They
during
some
that
of them do now.
Between I took those jobs away from you, and then, but then the governor decided to reinstate some of them, not all of them.
He did. So just to make this more confusing, so the governor rescinded all 82 of those appointments after the first decision. Republican lawmakers were upset. Evers says, I am going to systematically reappoint all of these 82 people with my own choices. Now, I might, in some cases, just reappoint the same person that Governor Walker did. And incidentally, that's what he ended up doing in 67, I believe, of the 82 cases. So this was all happening after the stay was issued on Wednesday. The Republican leaders in the legislature said all of these appointments should be valid again.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Evers says, no, they're not. Some of them are still vacant. I'm working on it. Shortly after that, he said, here's my list of people that I'm appointing. Here's 67 of the 82, which leaves 15 people that, according to Governor Evers, there's nobody in those jobs. According to Republican leaders, they're the people that Walker appointed.
Mm-hmm. And among those 15 that are still vacant and or filled, depending on who you ask,
right,
are the big ones that you mentioned, slots on the UW Board of Regents, mm-hmm, and on the Public Service Commission.
Exactly. So that's kind of the big, I would say that's the biggest point of confusion. Just not that not knowing which of the lame duck laws is still in effect and isn't, kind of with the interplay of those lawsuits, not that that's not confusing, but I would say that the very strongly differing interpretations of what that judge's ruling means and whether or not these positions are filled, I think that's the biggest point of confusion and conflict right now.
So what happens next?
Well, I would say this might be a good time to go to an update from Future Us,
mm-hmm,
just in case anything happens with these 15 other positions today. I would say this is I have this phrase and I really don't think it makes any sense. And I think I made it up just for myself, but I say it a lot. It's a fast moving train. I don't know, whatever that means, but it's a fast moving train.
Like in Japan, they have the bullet trains.
Like,
it's one of those, made of news.
Yes, it's a lame duck bullet train, and things could happen this afternoon. And so let's just throw it to Future Us and see if they have any updates.
So since we recorded earlier, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald sent a letter to Governor Evers saying that the 67 people he was reappointing to their original appointments would not be considered for confirmation by the Senate. He said the governor's office must have sent the list to lawmakers, quote, in error. Essentially, Fitzgerald is saying you can't reappoint these people because they were never unappointed to begin with. He even sent a letter to all 82 appointees saying they still have their jobs. That's it from the future. Okay, thank you, Future Us.
Very enlightening, as always.
But if we were to wildly speculate a little bit and maybe say some stuff that has to be cut because it would be invalidated by the fast-moving train,
yeah.
I mean, what are you as a reporter waiting on now, mm-hmm, to learn?
Well, I think the next big thing that we're going to be waiting on is the appeal and stay of this second Dane County ruling. So if we know that Republican lawmakers are going to appeal this decision as well. If they are successful in getting a stay in the second case like they are in the first, all of these powers that Governor Evers has been acting on since the first decision are going to go away,
mm-hmm,
if not forever, at least temporarily as things move through the appellate court. So I think that'll be really interesting to see if that happens, how things are handled in terms of the new appointments that Governor Evers made in this kind of window of time, the withdrawal of the state from the federal lawsuit challenging the Affordable Care Act. Are we suddenly back in that lawsuit? What does that process look like?
Has that fast-moving train already left the station?
Right.
Or does it have to make a U-turn somehow?
Exactly. So I think that will be really fascinating. Of course, the actual arguments and decisions by the appellate court will be something that we certainly are watching. Those won't happen for a little bit. We know that the first appellate court, the District 3 court that has that first case, has set an expedited schedule. So they're expected to get some briefing documents and things from the different parties by the end of April. So we should see arguments in that case fairly soon-ish in the scheme of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All things considered.
All things considered, as we do. So definitely that's going to be really interesting. I think the other thing, it's just inevitable that these two cases are going to end up at the state Supreme Court. I mean, whatever the appellate courts decide, it's going to be appealed.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing how that happens, when that happens. And interestingly, you know, if they're heard by the state Supreme Court on the same day,
yeah,
just kind of seeing how the arguments are similar or different, or how the cases sort of interact with each other, I think could be really fascinating.
And I guess the other thing is, like, when it eventually is heard, what the makeup of the state Supreme Court is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have an election for one seat coming up on Tuesday and then another one next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how long this process could be stretched out. But, mm-hmm. you know, there's, you know, some potential changes in terms of the ideological makeup of the court. So that's a completely different train.
That is a different train.
But, it's, you know, also timely.
Yeah, for sure. I think so. The makeup of the court right now, there's a 4-3 conservative majority. So there's the potential after the election next week that the court could swing more toward conservatives. Certainly, if the liberal-backed Justice Neubauer wins the election, the balance stays the same. And that sets up liberals to potentially have the first majority on the court if they win in 2020. So I think really next week's election is particularly important because it sort of sets in motion that tilting of the judicial scale, if you will, or maintaining the status quo. And that could make a really big difference for these important cases that are kind of on the track, as they say, making their way to the state Supreme Court.
Well, whatever happens, we will be here to get you the information you need. Laurel White is WPR's Capitol reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
If you're looking for a podcast that will work with you until you get the news and information you're entitled to, subscribe to the WPR Politics Podcast right now on iTunes. That's right, subscribe now. You can also find the show on Stitcher and Google Play, as well as many other podcast apps. And you can catch up on past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics.